Jeremiah chapter 6. If you know anything about the book of Jeremiah, I entitled the message this morning, Old Paths, New Purpose. Old Paths, New Purpose. I believe that we all ought to have a new purpose every once in a while, and it starts going back to the old paths, as we're going to see here in just a minute. Now, very familiar portion of Scripture. If you will go down to, for sake of time, I better get going. Verse 13, let's go down to verse 13 here. Jeremiah 6, verse 13. Notice what it says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." They're liars, they're fakes, they're frauds, they're cheaters. Notice verse 14, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Now we'll look at that in a minute. Verse 15, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?" No, or nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. It's a new day today, isn't it? Nobody blushes anymore. There's nothing shocking anymore. We're used to all of it. "Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, and the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now here's our text verse, and you may know it very well, but verse 16, notice, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now, something I preached out of before, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but the old path. Now, the Lord says, ask for the old paths. Now, let me clarify. I'm not talking about being old-fashioned. There's a difference. People say, if you're old-fashioned, then that's the old path. No, that's not. Not old-fashioned, but old paths. Now, the old paths are the well-worn, established paths that we know. And that's the Word of God. That's the way of God for us. Again, understanding this today, that a lot of people will mock at or laugh at the old paths, the old ways. Now, there's something wrong with apparently the new paths, for he's asking us, or literally telling us, to ask for the old. There's obviously something wrong. Now, the plea for the old paths, notice, listen to this, are out of necessity due to the insufficiency of the new paths. We are bored with the old paths. They don't produce emotional highs and flashy results. They don't allow any wiggle room for my path, but require strict obedience to stay within the trail. The new paths bring affluence and carry little influence to lead others to Christ. The new paths put no rigid requirements of surrender and submission, but open the road to self-fulfillment and freedom. Isn't that today? That's the new path. There's something wrong with the new path, and I'm not saying that the new ways of doing things or new means of doing things or whatever it is are wrong, but I think that we need to come back to the old paths. And what he's saying is to the nation of Israel, you need to come back to my ways, my path. Now, thinking about this today, I believe a lot of churches and other places like that produce artificial or push artificial, which ultimately produces superficial results. Superficial. There's no real heart belief. There's no real change in the person. You see it all the time. People say, oh yeah, I'm a saved, blood-bought believer, and I attend this church, and I do this. There's no change. It's superficial. Have you noticed that? It's all superficial. Where is the true child of God that's changed, that's transformed? We know that. I think about a lot of things that are older, that are better, don't you? How many like old cars? Amen. Aren't they better? They're much as better. You take an old pickup truck, now they got to be running, but you take something old and boy, I like it. You got these new Camaros. Come on now. You give me a 68, 69. Oh yeah. These new Mustangs. Come on. They're okay, great and grand, but give me an old one. There's a lot of things. The music, old music is better, isn't it? You can actually understand it, right? I mean, the music today, you're going, what in the world are they talking about? You try to watch a football game or basketball game or something, and this music comes on during commercial break or halftime, some rap music. I have no idea what they're talking about. There's new terminology today. So a couple of our girls were telling me these words they're using. I said, what? You know, sus. Sus means, well, it's suspicious or weird, right? I mean, what's the other one? Slay or something like that. Slay. I mean, I don't know. I hope those aren't bad words. They're not bad words, right? But there's words, things like that. I think old stuff's better. We went to a restaurant a while back, and it was one of those fancy restaurants. And I was looking at the menu. I didn't know what was on the menu. I asked the waiter. I said, hey, you have anything like just old chicken fried steak and potatoes? And a smirk came on his face like I was some country bumpkin or something. We don't have that here, sir. Or you want a filet mignon or whatever it is. And I just like the good old chicken fried steak. Amen. And then you get married and praise the Lord. She'll cook for you and do stuff like that. And then I came out one day. I said, my wife made something. I said, now, honey, I said, is this Mama's recipe? And she said, no, it's mine. I said, oh, okay. Okay, we'll go with that. That's great. Well, I was looking for Mama's recipe, right? I went, make me something like that. I like that. But I like the old stuff better, don't you? There's something about it. Now, I was thinking about this. I found this interesting. Old Route 66 called the Old Mother Road. How many, did anyone ever drive on the actual Route 66? Anybody back in the day? A couple of you did? Oh, awesome. It's about 2,400 miles in length, and you know how it goes. It went from Chicago to L.A., right? Went from Chicago all the way to Santa Monica. You could travel that highway. And, they had it. They built it back early in the turn of the century. And they had it. It was the main, they call it Mother Road for many, many years. Well, you know the story that it comes and the modern highway system we have today bypassed a large portions of Route 66. And because of that, a lot of these little towns and such got overlooked and whatnot. But I found this interesting. When they started the highway system back in the 60s and 70s, many began to complain that the highway didn't have the same feel as old 66. It became fast-paced and commercialized instead of a journey to be enjoyed. That's how it was. Route 66, you take it, there was a gas station every so often. There was little restaurants, little towns. You travel 10 miles, 5 miles, there's another little town. It was something to enjoy. It was a journey, right? Now with these highway systems, it's just commercialized. It's fast-paced. There's not a lot there. And I thought about that. They were thinking back at the old. I like the old style. I like the old road. I like the old way. Now, the great prophet is given the word from God. And again, by the way, a prophet's one goal or duty or responsibility was to thus saith the Lord. That's all they're supposed to do. They're to speak the word, word for word, from God to the people. That's all their job was. Now, because they did that, they were heavily persecuted. We saw this a couple weeks ago. But notice what it is. The word from the Lord says, hey, I want you to get the people and tell them to stand in the way and ask for the old paths. When he did this, he was referencing back to the old ways, how he dealt. They looked back and thought about David and how God worked with David. They looked back and thought about Solomon, the great buildings that they built. They thought about those glory days of when they saw those walls built, the brick by brick and mortar by mortar put up, and the great temple put together, and all that God did. And they thought back about what God did in the past, and even the stories far back to when Moses led the people out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, into the great promised land. And the stories they heard from grandma and grandpa about how the sea parted and they walked through on dry ground. And how they got out into the wilderness and they thirsted and hungered and pleaded with God and even complained and bemoaned, and God provided to them water out of a rock. How that God worked in a mighty way. I think about that. You know, some of us younger people ought to get together with some of you dear saints and ask you about how God worked in your life. I think it's a failure a lot of times on my part especially. But going through a trial or adversity and not asking somebody that's older about how they handled it, especially a godly person. How did you get through this? How did you go through this? What was it that God did in your life? And if we'll do that, we'll avoid a lot of detours in life. I believe that. Now, the world's paths have always been plural. The world's paths say, and this has been from the beginning of time, there's a lot of different roads to the same destination. We've heard that recently, even with some spiritual, quote unquote, evangelical and even Catholic leaders that came out and say, hey, listen, I can't judge you. If you feel that's the way to get to God, then God will honor that. Is that what the Bible says? No. If you feel that that's the way that God wants you to do your life, then do it. If you feel like you are comfortable with, God's not going to judge you for that. If you like the person of the same gender, God's not going to judge you. No, that's between you and God. Now, here's the problem we have. It's been this way for time of old. Many paths, same destination. The Lord comes and he flips it over and he says, no, there's one path. There's one way. I am the way, not a way. I am the life, not a life. I am the truth. Definite. That's who I am. No man, there it is, just eliminated every other path. No man put a sign up, said, do not enter every other path except this path. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not multiple paths. God says to Jeremiah, hey, tell the people, ask for the old paths. Well, why? The new paths are working. Obviously not. Why? The new paths bring with it peace and joy. Obviously not. Because he says the old paths will bring about the peace you're searching for. Now, again, we know this. I read this recently in the book of Acts, reading through the book of Acts. By the way, notice, the biblical Christianity that we read about in the book of Acts in particular is not a super spiritual, this ultra-powerful, only reserved for really spiritual people type of Christianity. That's what we read about in the book of Acts. We go, I could never do that. I could never be like those Christians in the early... No, no, no. What we read about in the book of Acts is what? Is normal Christianity. What we have today is subpar, shallow, lackluster Christianity. That's just how it is. We don't meet the New Testament standard. Now again, preaching to myself. We don't meet those standards. Now think about that. The Christianity we read about in the Bible is normal Christianity. That's what we need to focus on. So I want you to notice a few things here with me this morning. First of all, though, and we're going to continue this into the next couple of weeks in the month of May here, but first of all, we need guidance. And this is what we find here. Back in verse 16, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see. There's several things about that. Jesus talks about that often. He says, hey, come and see, come and view, come and look. See, God wants us to put a little bit of effort into our relationship with him. A lot of people show up to church for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and think they've killed the fatted calf. I mean, they think they did something really great. We don't see him again till next week or whatever the case is. I mean, you crack open the Bible from time to time, have a little prayer time around the dinner table. I mean, that's kind of all that we have. And he says, I want you to put forth a little bit of effort. Lord, I'll just stand in my house. Is that fine? I'll just stay seated on the couch. Is that fine? And then you show me your old path. No, what does he say? Come on out and stand in the way and then watch. And then see. I want to say again, you put forth a little bit of effort this week in your Christian life, in your walk with God, you'll be amazed at what God will do. See, God is willing to guide us. Now again, we know these stories. Maybe some of you here today need a word from God. You've been looking for God, speak to me. Speak to me. Tell me something. Give me something I can chew on that I can use. You need a word from God. Here it is right here. Think about this. I don't know, it may not be for you, but it touched me this week. He says, follow me. And I will. Follow me, and I will. Now, think about that. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But I was reading that, and I thought about it. Follow me, and I will. What's he saying? You have nothing to do in this. So many people get so pent up and angry and frustrated and flustered and downright depressed and despondent. Because why? They keep trying to do things to their own failure. Oh, I better get this done. I got to get this. Oh, what am I going to do? How do I do this, right? He says, follow me. And what's our job? Follow me. Follow the Lord. Find out what he wants me to do. And I will do the rest. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars. You guys know the song. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. That's what he's doing. Now, if we'll just let him work, we'll let him do it. I love that. Just follow me. Okay, Lord, what do I do? Spend time in the scriptures. Find out what God wants you to do. Seek God and pray and say, Lord, show me what to do. Tell me what to do. Lord, put me where you want me to be. Place me where you want me to be. Whatever the case is, follow me. God is willing to guide us if we will allow him. Now think about that. He comes back in the New Testament and says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now you know what the yoke is. We've studied that before. But the yoke is, it goes on his neck, if you will, of the ox over here, and it ties the two together, those two ox or cattle walking down, plowing a plow, running through the field. They're yoked together so that one doesn't go forward, it stops them. The other lags behind, it'll pull them ahead. That's what he's saying. We get yoked up with the Lord. The Lord is willing to guide us if we'll let him. We won't get out ahead of the Lord. We won't lag behind. He says, follow me. A young man comes to him. You know the story. He says, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you want me to go. He says, okay, go home, sell all you have, and then come follow me. Why? Well, because I want my path and his path. I want new path and old path. You're not going to straddle the fence all the way down with one foot in each path. It ain't going to work. You're eventually going to fail, fumble, fall, falter, flake out, become fraudulent, fickle, whatever else you want to say. No, listen, he says, then present yourself. Come and join him on his path. That's what he's saying. Come and join God on his path. He's inviting us to join him on his path. Sir, your path isn't working. Ma'am, I'm sorry, your path isn't working. It's leading you down into destruction. Do you have a week? I know you do, but it seems like it starts out well and it always ends the same. You always hit the same roadblock. You run into the same wall. I don't know for you, but often that way. And I truly believe for myself, especially, that it is my path instead of seeking God's path. God's path is unconventional. It's different. It's challenging at times, sure, but it is different. If you'll follow it, if you'll let him lead, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. We sang another song years ago. The Lord knows a way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. He knows a way. He knows a way. Now, thinking through now, as we see this, the guidance that is given to us, stand in the way and see. See what I'll do. In fact, Jesus, right before he ascends up, he says to everyone, what? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says what at the end? Lo, or listen, look, pay attention. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I'm with you always for a limited time. No, I'm with you always all the way to the end. Jesus will guide us all the way up to glory. Isn't that wonderful to know? There's not one spot or place along the trail, along old Route 66, where we're going to go, oh, I wonder if I'll run out of gas over here. Boy, I hope this is a dark, lonely highway over here. I hope I don't get lost over here. No, he's in front of you the whole way. Here, just follow me, Tim. I'll take you all the way to glory. I'll take you all the way to the day when you breathe your last breath. And when you breathe your last breath, the Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, you close your eyes, and in an instant, you wake up in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? There's no purgatory. Nonsense, heretical teaching. Like purgatory, sin all you want, come and confess to the priest. And if you're a real bad boy, it's okay. We've got a place reserved for you. It's not hell, it's purgatory. So you're still fine. Wrong, false teaching. I said Wednesday evening, if you went to the doctor, you would go in and he'd say, no, everything's fine. It doesn't look good, but you'll be fine. Go home and just rest. No, you're going to get real close to that doctor and say, you better tell me what's wrong so I can fix it. Or I can start on treatments or something. We want to tell you the truth. There is a hell. There is a heaven. You can avoid hell. You can gain heaven. We know these things. God says, ask for the old paths. I will guide you on the path. You don't have to make up your own path. You don't have to make up your own way. You don't have to get the paver out. Old Bessie. Remember old Bessie? Get the paving machine out. Lay the asphalt like, Lord, I can't pay for all that material. I can't. No, the road's already there. Just get on it, stand in the way, and ask for it. I love that. Just show me what to do, Lord. Help me. Clearly defined road. Now, let's continue. With this guidance, notice, there are clearly defined road markers. Very interesting, of the thousands of car accidents that happen every year, annually. Hundreds of them are due to wrong way drivers. They get on the road the wrong way. Now, usually, I think the high percentage, we have some first responders in here, but the high percentage of them are people that are inebriated or intoxicated or something. And they'll get on that highway, they'll get on that ramp, that off ramp, they'll get on that ramp and go the wrong way, and bad things happen. But hundreds of those annually are due to wrong-way drivers. They are not heeding the markers. They're not heeding the signs. Again, in our wonderful country we have a lot of signs up. If you even go right over here on the overpass going through Edgewood. If you look at that off-ramp, you look at it as you drive past, a bunch of red signs that say, wrong way, do not enter, wrong way. This is what happens. People get on the road the wrong way, not heeding the road markers, not heeding the signs. Proverbs 22 and 28. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Now, that is both literal and figurative. In those days, yes, thank you. In those days, when Solomon is penning these words, there were clearly defined or delineated landmarks. Today, you go out, buy a piece of property, you take you some stakes with some maybe ribbon on the top of it of whatnot, yellow, bright green, bright pink, whatever, and you go out and you mark the corners of your property. Why? Because you're a mean-spirited, evil, selfish person? No, because I paid for that, and I want to clearly define where I can put my fence up. He says, don't remove those landmarks. Now, here, secondly, not only the literal side, but the spiritual side of it is this. You walk by and start just throwing up these stakes. Oh, I don't like that stake. You take it out of the ground and throw it to the side. That's not yours. You better be careful. Granddaddy put that there for a reason. See, the Bible's here for a reason. God gave us these things for a reason. It's these old paths. They know what they're doing. There's clearly defined markers in the way. Road signs, guardrails are on the highways, not to hinder us. Well, what if I just want to veer off the side of the road? That's my right. That's my freedom. Does that not sound like our college students today? None of you in here, but you ever watch these people at college campuses and they do these debates and other things? They're off the rails, man. I mean, what they're talking about, you're going, what? It's my body, I'll do what I want with it. Okay? What gives you the right to do this and that? I think America's evil. I think America's wicked. Whoever they're debating says, why don't you just leave? Why are you still here? They won't leave. Why? They want to enjoy all the benefits of it, but curse and cuss the name. And that's what it was in Jeremiah's day. God says, I want you to understand something. I've given you peace. I've given you what you have. Now notice back, if you will, to verse 14. He says this along these lines. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. He says, you're hurting them slightly by saying peace, peace, when what? There's no peace. Everything's fault. If you know the story of Jeremiah at this point, at this stage, early on, this is early on in the book of Jeremiah, everything's falling apart. God's judgment has fell upon the nation. They're being overrun by the enemies, literal disease, famine, starvation, everything you could ever imagine God bringing to a disobedient nation. We're about to see that in America real soon, by the way. Everything. And guess what? These spiritual, quote-unquote, leaders, these government leaders come out and go, hey, don't worry, peace, 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 everything's fine. And God said, there's no peace. Don't listen to this lunatic. He's lying to you. He's lying to you. We see the judgment of God today in America, and we've got political leaders and false prophets and all kinds of evangelical people standing up and going, peace, peace. Let's pray for the Catholic Church as they find their next pope. Let's pray for these people. Listen, we've got some nonsense going on today. God, people don't know the Bible. They don't know the clearly defined marks in the soil. Ask for the old paths. The old paths say what? It's handled for you. Just drive down the road. New paths say, we've got to find a new route. We've got to find a new way. I'm going to take my little Kia car. I don't have a Kia car, but taking a little Kia and try to go across the field here. Ain't going to last long. There's a road for you over here. You need to stay on the pavement. There's a road here. We think about today, so much confusion today. Why? Because we removed the ancient landmarks that have been put in place. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know the beginning portion of that. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We naturally begin to lean, don't we? We lean. It's just a natural thing for us as human beings. We're not solid, steadfast people. We naturally lean. We go through problems and difficulties and shallowness and heartbreak and relationships that fall apart and financial trouble, all kinds of stuff. And we naturally start to lean into what? Not God, our own understanding. Our own understanding's over here. I better start figuring things out. He says, no, lean unto me. Lean unto me in what? I will direct your paths. And what path is God going to direct us to? Not my own understanding. What's he going to do? over here to my path. Here's the problem, Tim, you have. Come back to my path. I'll show you what to do. By the way, the path we're talking about is this good old book right here. Follow this book. Get back in this book. Follow God's way. Clearly defined for us. Oh, I have verses here. Psalm 23 and verse 3, David, the great Psalm 23 that we read often and hear. He says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. The paths that God is talking about are paths of righteousness, not selfishness, not carnality, but spiritualness, righteousness. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Many verses. Let's keep going here, though. Not only the guidance given, let me say secondly, the obedience necessary. The obedience. Okay, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Let's go through here and we'll bring it home here in just a few. He says, Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, see, ask for the old paths. Wherein is known as the good way. The good way. There's the good way. And walk therein. There it is, a definitive statement. I'm going to show you what kind of path it is. It's the good path. It's a path that's good. It's a path that brings peace. See, we don't have to pave a new path. We follow the established one. If you'll follow this book, people say, well, my parents and grandparents' religion, that was for them, but I'm going to pave a new path for me. That's fine. But you better get some counsel about that because they knew what they were doing. I really believe that. They knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going. They had some things figured out. By the way, go back. They weren't bombarded and sidetracked with all this social media. We are such an over-entertained society today. So many sidetracked. You go back to the turn, go back 50, 60, 75 years ago, not very long ago, and you go back and see, boy, they didn't have all those distractions. Almost 75 years ago, almost every business in a little town like ours was closed on Sundays. Nobody was open. If you were open for business, you were looked down upon in the town. Everybody was in church. Everybody. And you think about that. This is where we are today. I think we come back and look at what they had. It's a good thing. Now notice, this is a well-worn, proven path we can trust. Not notice, you might find peace along the way. What does he say? Ye shall find rest for your souls. There it is. The rest of my soul. I don't need rest physically, although from time to time we do. You need rest in here. That's the problem with society today. That's why we're on pills. That's why we take the drink. That's why we have all these issues. This rest inside, I can't figure out. It's an itch internally that I can't scratch. I can't get to. There's something about that. He says, notice, here is the rest you are looking for. What is it, Lord? You got to stop going down your own path. You got to stop trying to figure things out and let me guide you and help you. This is the old tale from long ago. We know that. Adam tried this. He tried to do his own way. He got all of us into trouble. Romans 5:12 says what? Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was from our great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam. You fast forward a little bit, and Noah's just out doing his thing. He's a very righteous, holy man. God comes to him one day and says, Noah, I've got a little job for you. He says, okay, what's that? He says, I want you to build a massive barge, and then I'm going to start bringing you the animals two by two. They're just going to start showing up, and you have to start putting them in there. Well, what for, Lord? I'm going to flood the entire earth. Noah said, well, I'd like to do that, Lord, but I'd rather just stick with my job. I'd rather do my thing. I mean, why are you calling me? What's the big deal? Why is all this on me? God is saying what? I know you're going this way, Noah, but can you go my way now? Aren't you thankful that he did? Moses is out in the backside of the desert, about 80 years old, retired. He's already set, got everything in order. By the way, you're not past a certain age. I can't do much for the Lord now. I don't, just not physically able. He takes, and by the way, all of you in here, praise God for you. You haven't retired. You re-enlisted. Praise God. Amen. You're ready to go for the Lord. But he's out on the backside of the desert doing his own thing and walking along, those stinking sheep following him. He sees the burning bush, turns aside, and God says, I've got a new path for you, Moses. He says, Lord, no, I'm comfortable here. I got a pretty wife and got some kids. Everything's set. I'm good. No, I've got a new path for you. You want to follow me? Moses said, I will now turn aside and see what that bush is burning for, how it's burning. He turns aside and follows the Lord. We fast forward to many people. I think about Elijah. I think about Elisha. I think about David. I think about Ruth. I think about Esther. Mordecai comes to Esther and says, Esther, listen, you need to do something. You're the only one that has any kind of authority. You're the only one that can talk to the king. And she says, well, you know, if I enter into the king unannounced and uninvited, the law says I'm to be executed. But then she says, you know what? We don't have time for that. Forget that. Hey, if I perish, I perish. I'm going in there. She said, tell everybody to fast and pray for 3 days. She didn't just say that off the cuff to sound spiritual. If I perish, I perish. No, she literally believed she would get the word to the king. King, here's what's happening. Before they came in and took her and executed her, she could get the word to the king. She was willing to be executed just to get the word to him that wicked Haman was going to annihilate, commit genocide upon all of our people. You fast forward and think about people like Micah, Hosea, Daniel, 3 Hebrew boys. They were all willing to do it God's way. And I'm just saying today, as you go throughout history and see all of these people that stood up and said, I'll ask for the old paths. I'm not talking about being old-fashioned, strict, rule-oriented, you know, all these rules in place, legalistic. No, we're saying old paths. Come back to God's way. God's way is timeless. This book is timeless. There's no time stamp put on this book. It's amazing, isn't it? This book, being as old as it is still relevant in 2025. This book, 200 years ago, was talking about things like social media. This book, 300 years ago, was talking about certain subjects that hadn't even been brought up yet. In fact, in the book of Revelation says that every person on planet Earth is going to be able to see things happening in one location. Oh, that's impossible. This book, foolish, foolish book. Until we get to this age, everybody can watch a video on their watch. Every person in this, even in third world countries, they have cell phones provided to them. And we're all going to be able to watch what's happening in, I'll be careful, but Rome, at the Vatican. They're all going to be able to watch what's going to happen there as certain individuals rise to power. Well, how can that happen? This book is timeless, friends. This way is timeless. This path that looks tattered and worn and it looks like it leads somewhere, I don't want to go that way. Hey, broad is the way that leads to destruction. See, the broad way, that looks good. The broad way looks exciting. The narrow way, it's very narrow. Why? Because it's single file. Not a lot of people on it. Not a lot of people. Real narrow. Leads unto life everlasting. The Broadway, you got all these people, hordes of people running down it. Today, we need people that will ask for the old paths. Can I encourage you with this morning and I'll be done? Would you ask for the old paths? Number one, stand in the way. Get in the way. Lord, I want to be put in the way. Where do you want me, God? I'm here. Wherever you want me to be. You want me here? I'll do that. I can work with my hands. I can't do much else. Can you work with your hands? Do it for God. You mechanically minded? Work. Do that for God. You have some kind of ability, you have some kind of something of an asset, if you will. Use that for God. Why? Because I don't want to stand before Christ here real soon, by the way, and say, boy, Lord, I saved all that money up. What'd you do with it? I gave it to the Humane Society. I saved all that up. I worked all my life. I had all the money. I've had all these things. I want to give it away. No, I did it. I used it for God, for the furtherance of the kingdom. I used all that I had, all the skills and talents that I had for you, the old paths. Are you seeking that today? Not only is it guidance, we have an established path. He'll guide us along the way. Are you being obedient to the path? Apparently, their path was not leading to rest. Apparently, their path was not leading to peace, enjoyment, and fulfillment. By the way, try God out. Test God out. Okay, Lord, I'm going to try this week doing it my way. Lord, I'm going to try it your way. Literally, try it out. Jesus, Lord himself of the Old Testament, he says this, come now, let us reason together. You got questions, I have answers. You've got problems, I've got solutions. You have something you want to debate about? Let's talk about it. Come now to the Word and try me, test me. He stands on that grassy knoll looking out over Jerusalem and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, If you only knew the time. If you only knew that the Messiah was here. If you would have listened to me. If you would have followed me. But what does he say? You would not. I would have gathered you together like the chickens or the chicks under a mother's wings. And I would have led you. And I would have guided you. I would have helped you. But you would not. And here it is. We'll wrap it up. One of the saddest statements in all the Bible. They said, we will not walk therein. Ezekiel 22, it says, I sought for a man among them. They'd make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And he says this, but I found none. He said, I sought for a man, singular, one, just one. One person, and what they can do for God. Well, I need a bunch of people. Well, I know collectively as a church, we can really... No, one person, what they can do for God, what God will do through that person, it's amazing to think about. And he says, well, I didn't even find one person. Jeremiah chapter 5, he talks about that. He says, run to and fro through the streets. Seek out, verse 1. See, now, no, seek the broad places. No, where's that? That's the unbelieving. Broad area, broad path. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment and seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it. If you can find one person, I'll pardon the sin of a nation. Now think about that. The Bible says they found not one person. Therefore, what? My wrath is poured out upon this nation. See, God's not an unfair, unjust God. God's not an unloving God. Well, you know, he's so unfair. No, he's not. He says, just find me one person that executeth judgment and followeth after righteousness, and I'll pardon the sin of a nation. Couldn't find one. What a sad day in America today. What a sad day we live in. When we have such bounty and plentifulness, we don't even... Today, the poorest person in America has more than the third world country. I read the story of a Chinese pastor that came to America. He came to America visiting, and he went to different churches around the country. And finally, after his tour, he came back and they interviewed him and said, what did you find about American churches? He said, well, just two things. And through a translator, he was speaking. He said, number one, whole families in China could live off of what you throw away. And then he said, secondly, what's the second thing? It amazes me what you get done without the Holy Spirit. It amazes me what you get done without the Holy Spirit. Big churches, big things, fancy stuff. None of it. None of it Spirit-led. It amazes me, he said, what you can do. And God says, listen, just ask for the old path. Come back to where you know is right. Come back home. I love the testimonies and stories. And I'm done. Of people that wander off. I've wandered far away from God. But now I'm coming home. What is that song from? The prodigal son. Remember that story? Goes off, Dad, give me the inheritance I need and give me all these things. And did you know, a matter of fact, the dad knew he was going to spend all his money. He already knew that. He already knew he was going to fail, but the dad let him go. He tried to stop him, but he let him go. Why? Sometimes we need to run right into the brick wall, don't we? The only way to look is up. When you're laying flat on your back somewhere in a hospital or financially. How many have been there? We've been there. I've been there. You're just laying there going, oh, man. And by the way, don't ask my parents any stories. Okay. And I should have just listened. Godly heritage. Thank God I have parents in church today that are such a blessing to me. I don't say that enough. And it's just a blessing to have that heritage, right? And you think about it now and you say, Lord, I need your help. I want to know where to go. I want to know how to do it. He says, I've given you the guidance. I've given you the obedience, everything you need to ask for the old path. Come back to it. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to cover more of this. But there's an absence and there's a defiance that comes. As we walk through this year now, again, I want to encourage you with this. In 2025, our theme of thrive, thrive. In this area of thriving, which all of you are doing fantastic, by the way. I can't say that enough, and I apologize for not saying that enough. All of you in here, and I mean all of you as I look around, you're thriving. I thank God for you, every one of you. I see the growth in your life. I see you, by the way, just being faithful to church. But more than that, You're here. You're faithful. You're always saying, Brother Tim, what can I do to help? How can I help? You give us stuff. You donate your time, your energy, your resources. And just seeing you growing in the Lord, I can't tell you how much that encourages me. And I need that encouragement, by the way. I need it. So by you being here, being faithful, and I see the spiritual growth in your life, the thriving, it helps me tremendously. In this year, though, it's thriving. Listen, let's think about this. Let's come back to old paths, new purpose. I've got a new purpose. I want to come back to the old path. By the way, you're doing a great job. I'm preaching to the choir. I say that often. I thank God for all of you. All right, would you stand with me, please? Thank you for listening today. I appreciate your faithfulness.